Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Child Protection in Sport Unit. We're part of the NSPCC and funded by UK Sports Councils. Our work supports organisations to safeguard all children taking part in sport.
Hi, my name is Lisa Ware. I'm one of the senior consultants at the CPSU. You may have been aware that we've been championing safeguarding online in sports for many years. And like most aspects in life, social media is an integral part of sport and physical activity. But we should never forget our safeguarding responsibilities. And we must take time to think through carefully the different types of risks that children may be exposed to in a virtual sport setting. The CPSU are so pleased to have our NSPCC colleagues who are leading the way in online safety. I would like to introduce Laura Randolph and Helen Westerman. Thank you to the both of you for joining us today for the Online Safety Podcast. And we've got a series of questions that have been put forward from our national governing bodies and active partnership lead officers around this subject matter.
Thanks, Lisa. I'll be facilitating the discussions today. And as Lisa said, we're hopefully going to be addressing some of the issues that you've raised with the CPSU. Laura, in the sports sector, we've seen an increase in allegations of non-contact sexual abuse committed by young people onto another young person. And that's mainly in the form of young people creating indecent images of their peers whilst in changing rooms. What advice would you give to clubs and parents to help them talk with young people about this and get young people to understand that this is abuse and could result in statutory involvement?
So when you hear about situations like this, and unfortunately we do hear it quite a lot, it highlights how important it is that children understand the long-lasting impact that the sharing of images has. As soon as an image is shared within a peer group, control of that image is lost. So the child doesn't know where that image has gone, who has it made it onto a social platform, has my family seen it, has the person around the shop seen it. It's a fear that becomes forever present, and it really leads to a long-lasting impact on that child's well-being and their child's mental health. And it's something that can actually last into adulthood. So images can be removed, but you don't know if that image might reappear again. You don't know who's got it in their own personal folders that they can upload it again. So again, you might think that, yes, the image has been taken down, but there's always that nagging feeling at the back of the head that actually, will it pop up again? One thing that we need to make children really aware of is actually there's other consequences besides the image and where it's gone. It's the taking of that image is actually illegal. To take an image, to possess an image, to share it is child sex abuse material. And regardless of the age of the person who took that picture, whether they're 13, 15, 19, 20, it is illegal. So children can actually be investigated by police for possessing an image that is illegal. Now, police do not want to criminalise young people, but they do have to take every report seriously because you don't know if an image has been taken through coercion, through manipulation. You don't know that. You speak to the child and work out the situation and assess, you know, what are the needs of that child. So if this is reported to police, they will have a duty to make sure that child is okay and that the safeguarding measures are in place. In this scenario, in a changing room, what might be a prank could actually quickly escalate into something that none of the children or parents or the clubs can control. So it's really important that we have to educate both children, parents, clubs, coaches about the dangers of pranks, of sharing images consensually or in any other method, that what are the consequences both for the person in the image and the person taking the image, and what they can do to support both sets of children. And we've got advice on our NSPC website, we've got advice on our e-learning website, and also you've got the Helpline and Childline, which the child can seek support on through Childline. And if it clubs or coaches or adults want to go and speak to the Helpline, they'll be able to talk through the processes and the concerns and advise on the best way to support a child through this.
That's a great response. Thank you, Laura. Lisa, now, can you tell us about the challenges that children and young people who are professional sports people are facing when it comes to having and keeping a public profile?
Yeah, so I think young people who are talented, elite or professional athletes have a lot of pressure around making sure that they've got lots of followers on social media and that they've got a big profile and able to promote themselves but as a brand, but also promote their sport as well. Because for them, that could lead to possible sponsorships. But I also think it's things like young people being educated around this information is going to be potentially around forever. If they've said something on a social media post, somebody 5 years down the line might come back and raise something that somebody said. So if it was kind of racist or it was a homophobic, you know, anything that's derogative towards people could come back and have an impact again on their professional career, their sponsorship deals as well in the future. But for me, those young people are positive role models as well. So it's about how they portray themselves on a social media platform and making sure that they are showing their good side, their positive side, and that they are demonstrating how to be good citizens and, you know, good professional sports people. But also thinking about, you know, those young people have the same safeguarding risks as any other child as well out there. So, you know, they are also at risk of online grooming, but also for professional young athletes, there's the added risk around financial abuse as well, and people thinking that those young people will be earning X amount of money through sponsorship deals, or if they're, you know, they're in the first team at Liverpool, for example, football club, then they will have money that we can potentially exploit them and take advantage of their financial situation as well.
Gosh, there's lots of issues there. So Laura, what advice can you offer aspiring sports stars who are trying to generate follows on social media? What should we be talking to them about?
I think Lisa made a really good point there, in that when you're posting or commenting on social media, are you happy that in 5 years' time that content or that picture can still be seen? So it's thinking about what you're sharing and who will see it and what will the impact be. And I know we're putting the responsibility on the child there, but there's a responsibility to everyone around that child to make sure that they understand the consequences of behaviour and to make sure they think through the correct decision when they're posting or commenting on things. As I said before, who can see what you post? Is it public? Is it with your family? Is it with close friends? Who is it and what is it that can be seen? And it's a scary thing to think about, but the other angle of this is that when you're posting all these pictures, as Lisa said, you could be groomed. You could have someone out there saying, I can make you a star. And naturally, you know, the conversation will progress. It could be a very attractive proposition for children and young people, in that if I send another image, or if I pose this way, or I do this, I could be a star. I could be the biggest thing in 10 years' time. And there's a real risk there, because children want to be successful. They want to be the best they can. And if they see someone wanting to help them, then they might grasp onto that. But I have to raise another point, if I may, in that we know in some sports that parents are actually creating the social media accounts for the children. Now, social media sites have age ranges for a reason, and that's to make sure that children are protected and they can use the platform when they understand, you know, what the platform is about and how to use it safely. So by creating these accounts for the children under 13, how are they protecting their children? What are they doing to make sure that things are being shared correctly, that the child is actually speaking with people they know, not people they don't know? Whilst they might be trying to facilitate the child's career, it's actually causing them distress and could be causing them harm. So it's thinking twice about how they support their children when it comes to promoting their profiles. And actually, that's also a responsibility for the clubs and the coaches to make sure that the children who are attending their sport have the right safeguarding in place, whether it be through online social media or through the wider community as well.
We've just been talking about social media. So is it okay for clubs to tag children and young people on their social media posts, Laura?
So naturally, clubs will want to celebrate successes, support the young people and make sure that they feel that they're being championed, supported. But again, it comes back to consent and it comes back to appropriateness. Have they got consent from the parent, the young person? Is it appropriate what you're tagging? What is in the background of that image? Are they sharing personal information? You know, we've seen pictures where there's been posts in the background giving the child's address, or, you know, there's a significant skyline that could show where the child is. Is that appropriate? But then, and this is a slightly uncomfortable topic for some, is that what is actually in that picture? There are lots of sports where the child's attire is actually minimal. So gymnastics, swimming. Is that picture appropriate, or is the pose, could it be deemed sexual? And it's not something that parents or club members may want to think about. But actually, when it comes to imagery and it comes to what can be retained later on in life, is the picture appropriate? And should you be tagging it? Or should you be saying to that child, I don't think that image is quite appropriate, let's remove that from your profile. So the club have got a responsibility to support the children in that. Another angle to look at this when it comes to tagging of social media, if I can move it slightly to, in this environment, a lot of groups, a lot of clubs are creating chat rooms or chat functions, say on things like WhatsApp or Snap or Insta, etc., where the teams are chatting about what's happening and how to. But who is on that chat group? What are the ages on that chat group? So a lot of teams have mixed ages of players. So if you think about the age ranges between 15 and 20, for example, if you've got a team where you've got one member who's 15, 16, and another member who's 19, that chat has to be appropriate for all sets of people on that chat group. So if there is a sexual conversation or a sexual image being shared, and there's a 15-year-old on that chat group, you are sharing illegal imagery or sexual communication, regardless of whether the content is adult or not. When we have these chat groups and these forums, what content is being shared? And that's where rules and codes of conduct really come into play. And it is everyone's responsibility to make sure that children are protected at any age through the use of social media, through the use of groups, and how we tag and encourage our children.
Wow, thank you very much. A huge thank you to Lisa and Laura for their contributions today. Hopefully we've answered some of the questions that you've posed to CPSU, and a huge thank you to you for listening. And for further support and information, we would encourage you to look at the CPSU website. Thanks very much.
Thank you for listening to this Child Protection in Sport Unit podcast. If you're looking for more information and resources on safeguarding children in sport, please visit our website at thecpsu.org.uk.